One of them wanted to be the security guy. He claimed he was a security guy.
Welcome to Security Guy Ready. What's your name, sir?
Keith Bushy.
What's your title?
I'm with the FBI's Law Enforcement Executive Development Association. Elite is our corporate partner, and I'm their liaison.
Oh, cool. That's good. What's your name, sir?
Jordan LaPel, Elite Interactive Solutions. I'm the Senior Vice President of Business Development and Marketing.
Now, what do you guys do? What's your core business?
So Elite is a security consulting firm. We specialize in crime prevention. And the way we do that is combine people, processes, and technology.
So not guards, like everything's a security guard company is guards. It's consulting.
Correct.
Just much more important nowadays.
Yes.
So I just read the other day that in 2010, everything on the internet reached the capacity of a single human's brain, right? And there's hope that we're still room for us to learn because we've got a lot of dumb people in the world. But this is where we're going with digital stuff. And you guys do a lot of remote digital monitoring. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Tell me how you accomplished that.
So we combined artificial intelligence and military-grade analytics on smart devices, i.e. cameras, that penetrate a invisible fence, per se, that tells us if there's an intruder or a bad guy coming. And then we have the ability to communicate with that person and do a crime prevention that way.
Now, is law enforcement catching on to this stuff? They're always 5 or 10 years behind, right?
We're 5 or 10 years behind, but we're getting there.
All right, that's good. Are they using cameras in police work as much as they should? Like London, per se. Everything's a camera in London, right?
It's a work in progress. More and more people are catching on.
All right. Tell us what a typical core customer looks like.
So if I start from the beginning, you know, we're just over 10 years old.
Okay.
And the company was founded on protecting places where people shouldn't be, high dollar assets at night. So we looked at an automobile dealership, for example. You know, high dollar assets, it's designed to keep people in, not keep people out,
right?
To sell some cars. So what our value proposition in the beginning was to replace guards who could only be at one place at one time. And we do that with a force multiplier of digital guards or undercover guards, which is the monitoring piece that we do.
Now, when I was at Fox and Disney, we had about, 200 or 300 cameras each. Mm-hmm. And you can only put a guard on there for about 2 hours max, and then their eyes rolled up in their head, and they couldn't remember what they saw, right? A lot of people claim that this digital monitoring can be done through analytics, smart learning, e-machine learning, right? And, you know, we don't really need somebody to monitor it. You just put a program in there and say, oh, look, there's a movement, now we call somebody. I don't know if that's true. What do you guys think?
Actually, it is true. So statistically, the human mind can go from anywhere from 30 minutes to 3 seconds looking at a
right.
CCTV camera. So what our analytics do is they actually send alerts to us, and then we pull up the event and make a determination what is causing that event. So we're not staring at cameras all day, which would be ineffective and inefficient.
Now, you can learn, cameras can learn things like that's a car. That's a brown car, right? We're there, right?
Correct.
But don't we have to have that human component just to say, you know what? It's a brown car, but here's a subtlety we didn't see on an automated service. How much does a human participate in that?
So that good question. So we still have agents in our command center that you see behind
yeah,
us.
Yeah, that's great.
Retired or former law enforcement or military expertise. And what they do when they get an event is they look at it from a behavioral profiling. So is that person or thing supposed to be there at that particular time? So what happens with these analytics is it starts to create trends. So if the brown car is supposed to be there every day at 3
right.
p.m., it will still alert us, but we'll be able to look at that as a trend.
So now, what if the brown car doesn't show up after it thinks it's supposed to show up?
It will still send us an alert
yeah.
to say maybe there's a safety issue or a security issue.
The bank president didn't come to work today.
Correct.
Right? It can actually do that.
Yes.
That's amazing. Now, tell me about the liaison part. There's a whole structure you have, what you're in charge of, and you know how
Well, I'm not really in charge of anything. I have been with the FBI's Law Enforcement Executive Development Association for a number of years. I'm a retired law enforcement executive. I've been with several departments, retired from LAPD and San Bernardino Sheriff. And our job is to provide training for law enforcement. I've recently taken emeritus status in terms of training, but I still serve as a liaison to elite. And my job and my passion and my role is to help educate the law enforcement community about remote guarding.
Are they for it or against it or neutral right now? 10 years ago, they'd be against it. They're coming that way, right?
I've yet to see anybody who, once they become familiar with it, are not very supportive.
Good, good. Well, we have the white hair, so we've been around a while.
That's true.
And back in the day, cameras were, oh, there's a guy stealing something in 7-Eleven. Yeah, we know that, but his little pinhead can't be used in court. It's all useless, right? Now we have high-definition 7K cameras, all that kind of stuff.
Correct.
Do the police think that the cameras, how would I describe it, supplement their work? Do they think it's more part of it now, more integrated? Do they really want it integrated into the police departments?
Well, it just depends on the application, the department. You know, up until very recently, you could have great cameras, and you got a great picture of a crime that had occurred, and all you have is a great picture of somebody in hoodies running
right.
away. With Elite, when they get a call, there's no more false alarms. In fact, the Los Angeles Police Department has opined that Elite Interactive Systems remote guarding is tantamount to a crime in progress.
Wow.
As a new police officer, probably 95% of the calls were false. And when I was an executive, including right here in Los Angeles, 95% of the calls were still false.
Well, that's true. And then, you know, I live in Burbank, small department, but, you know, once in a while, my daughter leaves the door open, the garage alarm was off, and I get a bill.
Sure.
Right? And I just put in Arlo cameras. I don't know if you're familiar with Arlo, but they're a little aftermarket thing from Netgear, and they're wireless, mm-hmm. and I put a router in, and I keep it in my studio, right? So now I don't have to have an elaborate alarm system. When the janitor comes in, it goes off, starts recording, sends me an alert in real time.
Yes.
And that camera comes up with maybe a 3-second delay, and I know that they're in the office. And I opted for that instead of, oh, by the way, siren goes off and I can talk to them. It's kind of cool, right? But I opted for that instead of something hardwired, because by the time the operator gets it, it's like, okay, let me call the guy and verify. Let me call you back. And you got 2 or 3 minutes. People are gone. These crimes take, you know, a minute. So am I hearing you guys say that you're as close to real time as real time is in this business?
Maybe 2-second delay.
Okay, that's real time.
Yeah, we really pride ourselves on really the gap in the dwell time.
Yeah. Right?
So traditional
dwell time.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great word. All right.
I like that. Traditional alarm companies will verify an alarm's going off but not know why it's going off. They'll call probably the end user.
Right.
Well, they'll make a decision, call the police or not. As Keith said, we're a trained eyewitness to a crime in progress. So there's no false alarm. It becomes an expedited response from law enforcement. And we're guiding them into a safe environment. So hypothetically, if there is a bad guy with a weapon, we're able to tell them that so they can be protected as they come in. So what we have seen is law enforcement actually loves it and would like to pay for it, but they can't.
Yeah.
So they become advocates for us because we allow them to repurpose resources in the right direction. Again, no false alarms and a crime in progress.
Now, do any of their cars get tied into some of this stuff now? Are we getting there where their body cams are not being tied back into shared storage data? So here's a crime in progress. I have your camera, and now I got LAPD's body camera. And can we put those together yet and stitch them and have the dispatcher say, here's what's going on?
Not yet. From a technical standpoint, it's possible
right.
to do that. But you raise a very good point, because one of the real advantages of this is the dispatchers or the monitors that you see behind you, they are watching what's happening, and they're relaying that moment by moment, step by step, to the dispatchers who are providing that information to the officers
okay.
in the cars.
So we got a connection to dispatch and it works together. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to just elaborate on that. Is in most cases, because our systems are recording 24/7.
Right.
Law enforcement will actually contact us for a crime that might have happened for us to give them the tape reactively.
Okay.
During non-monitoring hours. So we've helped solve kidnappings and homicides and batteries because they see cameras up and they, of course, contact Elite. And we are beta testing in one department where dispatch can feed into the patrol car for the crime in progress.
Oh, cool.
But that's only the crime in progress. So we take a proactive stance on that. So, again, officer safety and arrest on the
yeah.
other end.
Well, it's that little Arlo thing. It pops up on my phone. It's 1080p. It's clear as a bell. Mm-hmm. So I can see the next couple of years where cops and their phones are going bink, and your camera's on their phone, and they're saying, I'm not going around that corner.
Right.
Because there's a guy right there with a gun. And it, we're almost to that. What's that show on Fox? You know, the
APB? Chicago,
APB, yeah, we're almost there.
I've been watching that too.
All that technology is here.
Yes.
You just have to get everybody to use it. Now, talk about data storage. What do you do with all these, what's the term, terabytes? Terabytes, nothing. There's things above terabytes now.
Yes.
How do you keep it all? I mean, Dell EMC is kind of a big one that, you know, stores things, but where does it go?
So, ironically, everything's streamed over the web to us, and we have at each client its own online server.
Okay.
So the data is actually stored at the client site for a duration of time, and the events get streamed to us. And if there's actually a crime in progress or an arrest, we store the data here. This building is actually the Garland Center, and we picked this building for a particular reason. It's a colo location. It's got 90 days of redundancy and generator.
Oh,
withstand good. A 9.0 earthquake potentially. And on the bottom floor, it actually houses the largest bank vault on the West Coast.
Wow.
So this building was strategically picked for that reason. If we don't have power, no one has power.
Right.
If you don't have power, we still can have power and look at your site.
Now, let's say you have a server somewhere and the cops come and say, listen, I gotta get this image, but it's on a client's camera. Mm-hmm. What are the legal aspects there? Do clients have to sign something ahead of time that says, you know what, if it's law enforcement, we'll release it? Sometimes cops want to get a subpoena to make it all legal, right? So the evidence doesn't get thrown out of court or something. How does that work?
So because it's streamed over the web and because of our relationship with law enforcement, we don't wait for subpoenas because we figure that dwell time again, it might be very important for them to have the images right away. In a couple of instances, we've been able to Dropbox images and video right to law enforcement's phone, and they can make an arrest where a suspect might have left the property. We give them path of travel, potential face recognition, license plates, et cetera. So we give as much detail as possible.
Do any police departments actually have you guys on their camera systems? Because, you know, every station has a couple 1984 analog cameras, and, you know, it's plugged into the wall.
There's actually a few that, again, we beta test because we don't charge law enforcement for that.
Oh, that's good to know. Remember that. Listen, he doesn't charge law enforcement. Okay, go ahead.
So what we do is we do a connectivity to their dispatch. So if they're in a high crime area and we have a client in that area, they're able to view the cameras just like the client can 24/7, just like we can, just like they can. So they might get a daytime issue where they're able to look at it real time and dispatch faster than we could do that.
So in 1984, I had a televideo computer and had two floppy drives. Remember the old big floppy drives? And you could play Frogger and use Quicken for DOS, and you could count to a million. It took 15 minutes to count to a million.
There have been some changes.
There have been some changes. And I brought it to the station, and good old Sergeant Lawton, remember, you know Sergeant Lawton over there at San Gabriel, tells me, Harold, what are you bringing this thing? What is that? It's a personal computer. We don't need personal computers in police work. And I used to type my reports on that, and they look beautiful, right? And there's a huge resistance back then. I've had one since 84. And I'm wondering, are the police, are they coming along begrudgingly? Are they accepting this? I find in talking to a lot of people at agencies and companies that since people, I'm 55, right? So I'm at the bottom of seniority, right? There's a lot of guys that are like, you know, I didn't grow up with that stuff. And there's a reluctance to make that call and make the decision and do it because they don't maybe understand it completely. Are we getting away from that? Because a lot of the cops now, the rookies, they all got their phones or computers. They're wired, right? They get it. Decision makers, do they get it?
Tremendous enthusiasm these days. There's still a few old dinosaurs around like myself that don't understand some of the things.
But you know what it can do. That's the important part.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And remember in 1984, storage was incredibly expensive and scarce. Now storage is not an issue any longer.
It was just two floppy disks, right? So to get 10 megabytes, I had to have 10 disks.
Sure.
Then they came out with a hard drive. It cost me $1,000. I had to finance it at the bank. And it's a 25 megabyte hard drive.
Wow.
Can you believe that? That won't even run Word nowadays.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. So if we're storing the data offsite with the client, they're giving you permission to use it. That's cool.
Correct.
Do you guys keep your own backups or, you know, cloud? Is it cloud storage a place to go, or are they using it on the local servers?
It's cloud-based,
okay.
Unless there's a actual event, and then we back it up on our server, but it's always on the cloud.
I'm worried about the cloud. Are you guys worried about it?
Not at all. It's old school.
It's hierarchy storage management when terminals used to be dumb, and you couldn't do anything with it except go to the room that was about this big and it had 500 banks, and they could, you know, store two pictures in it. It wasn't big storage, but the cloud is that version of that now. Are you guys concerned about the security of it, or you know, people get into it?
No, actually, and not to get into the technical piece of it, but everything's encrypted.
Yeah.
We have the top-of-the-line malware virus protection because, you know, just like anyone else, we're susceptible to any risk. But because of the business we're in, we have to be tenfold on the viruses and the horses and any malware that's out there. So we take it very seriously because we don't want anyone compromising our data at all.
This is a pretty good-sized data center. Give me an idea of how many people are being monitored right now. How many businesses are being monitored back here?
So this is actually our command center, and we have...
Make sure you get your mic up here, sweetie.
We have over 100,000 digital guards out there.
100,000?
Over 100,000 digital guards. So,
oh, my gosh, look at that.
We're in 9 states and can cover all of North America from this location in California.
Wow. Yes. That's fabulous. Now, come back in frame now. You don't get off that easy. I know you want to get out of that camera, but tell me about a typical day you have as a liaison. What do you do? How does it work?
Well, I'm semi-retired now, so my typical day is not 100% dedicated to law enforcement. But a typical day would be a number of calls to and from different law enforcement agencies on training issues and to provide information regarding inquiries about technology, how remote guarding truly eliminated any false alarms. You know, one of the things that's really important, and I tell people this all the time, remote guarding has eliminated false alarms, and that's the same thing as putting 2 or 3 or 4 additional units on the street. You remember from your days.
Many. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You remember from your days as a cop, remember when the winds blew or the rains came, you were
alarms,
just completely inundated?
Right.
Well, they don't have that anymore. In terms of officer safety, it doesn't get any better because the security monitors here are telling the dispatchers exactly what's occurring. In terms of prosecutorial support, it doesn't get any better. You've got the case handed to you on a silver platter. Suspects, when they're apprehended, they don't plead innocent because it's time for a plea bargain.
So the law is caught up with the technology, correct, pretty much? Yeah. All right. Used to be that little camera picture that was crappy in 1984, the guy just says, that's not me.
Well,
you couldn't prove it, right? But now it's so high resolution.
Yeah, we have a couple of cases where we've done virtual lineups.
Oh, really?
And been able to use that video in litigation. And like Keith said, no one pleads down. They can't argue with themselves being on the tape committing the crime. So it's really important.
And over and above the crimes in progress that are captured here, there's criminal intelligence, too, because it's not unusual for an agency to call and say, hey, listen, did you catch anybody on your tape last night between 6 and 8 because we had a liquor store broken into.
Right.
And the lead is quick to support law enforcement in that and every other way.
So let's talk about the analytics. I'll back up just a little bit so we can get you. There we go. Talk about the analytics. How deep are we going with those analytics now?
I mean,
let's say nothing happens today.
Correct.
Really, let's say we don't think we have a crime and law enforcement, LAPD calls you up and says, like you just said, hey, you know, we got this guy that's casing. He looks like this. He drives a brown car. Can you guys now type that in and say, look, there's that car at 20 different places? Can we find it, that needle in the haystack with the analytics now?
So I'll take that one.
Go ahead.
The short answer is yes, that could be done. The long answer is we don't go to that length yet because we're securing people and property and assets of a particular site. If we have the data, we could run it for a particular plate, car, person. But usually that's a reactive measure to a crime that's happened somewhere, whether it's path of travel or description of person, yes.
If a law enforcement agency calls and said, was there any activity in this area between 8 and 8:30 last night? Piece of cake. You can get it.
Okay.
And with regard to the analytics that they use, the thing that I find really interesting is they use high-grade military analytics that can capture an image before it can be seen with human eye.
Oh.
Typically, when there's an alert, these monitors behind you, there will be an alert, and they'll see a bracket, and there's something going on within that bracket, and the analytics are even better than the human eye, and then they'll see a person emerge within those brackets.
Give me an example of a company. First, let's talk about the types of businesses you guys work with. You know, the industry verticals.
So, of course, automotive, distribution, transportation, 3PL.
They want to see you. There you go.
There I am. retail.
Okay.
Healthcare, higher education, We're vertical agnostic, so anywhere that has high dollar assets that they want to protect, we'll protect anything. So because if they have an internet connectivity, we could be anywhere, anytime.
Now, don't give me any quotes, but what type of business size-wise can afford this kind of thing? Medium-sized business or large? Really enterprise?
So it's you would think it's the larger enterprises.
Right.
But we actually have clients that are as little as 100 or 1,000 square feet retail.
Oh.
All the way up to a 300-acre open parcel in mid-Texas.
1,000 square feet, you could do my house.
Yes.
It might fit. It might work.
Yes.
All right. And is it on a subscription basis, a per-hour basis? How does that get billed?
So our model is two pricing models. One is a subscription where it's all about the service, and they subscribe monthly. And the other pricing model is clients can elect to pay for the equipment if they have that.
Yeah.
Capital expense, but everything comes out to an hourly charge, and the hourly charge based on our history and based on our experience, and again, combining people, processes, and technology, is very, very economically centric to a client.
So if we're, big giant box company, mm-hmm. and I come in and I want 1,000 cameras, I'm doing all this kind of thing, it sounds like that hourly rate could be scalable.
It can.
I'm taking off a couple of cameras. We don't want it over here. It kind of goes up and down if it's possible.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is, not arrogantly, but we're the experts in design. So we think less is more.
Right.
So we want to do our job with the least amount of hardware possible, which in turn is a benefit to the client, of course.
So now if I had, let's talk about Fox, right? So Fox, I had about 100 guards. It was about 50 acres and a couple hundred cameras, busy place, right?
Sure.
I can't get rid of guards at the gate because I got cars that have to be cleared. But everywhere else, maybe, let's say I had 200 cameras and at any one time there were 30 guards on post. How could I reduce that kind of workforce?
That's a great question, because that's our business proposition, is being a force multiplier, either from a redundancy standpoint or a reduction in physical man guarding, right? So we take the approach of, guards can only be at one place at one time. They can only observe and report. And I hate to say, if they're awake or not in on a sweetheart deal per se. So what the digital guards do is, in theory, can replace one or two guards at anywhere from 30 to 60% cost savings to a client.
Wow.
So everything's customizable.
That's amazing.
We do a couple of three different things when we look at a design. We could take over a current system, we could design our own system, or we could have a combination of all three. So the analytics can be loaded on any type of camera, could even be an analog camera. So for us, again, it's less hardware as long as we could see the evidence on our side, we're able to make a determination.
So we got this that Chicago show. Is it APB?
APB, yes.
Yeah, I love that show, right? You've seen it?
Yeah.
Right. How close are we to a police department saying, you know what, maybe I can cut my police budget by one car a shift if we put cameras out, intersections, sporting events, someplace where... The only thing I have a problem with is that my belief as a police officer was I wasn't here to protect and serve. I don't really protect you. I only protect you because I'm out there and I'm a deterrent, right? But I'm not guarding you as a citizen, right? But I'm responding. So maybe this would increase response times with police if the dispatcher caught something when the car wasn't there and all of a sudden, what is that on the horizon?
Well,
people are always trying to cut budgets,
They are, but that would be a real mistake.
It would be.
It's not as if it would be a surplus. It means that officers would be available to respond to other critical needs that are often unmet.
Hot calls.
Yeah. You name it.
Yeah. Instead of alarms.
Instead of... maybe that would respond would increase the or decrease response time to hot calls.
Right.
Would give officers more time to be proactive. Would give officers time to take reports, whereas I might have to send somebody to the station. So it would be a dirty word. I can see where a politician might say we can reduce the budget, but they're already stretched to the limit. This would free up some of the officers to do critical tasks mm-hmm. that are unmet at this time.
In the end, it's a people business, police work.
Correct.
And guard work. We were just talking about before the show that these robots they got out there walking around. First thing I do is I take a baseball bat to it because I don't care if I hurt. Well, charge me with vandalism.
Right,
I won't do
any
time in California, of course, with all these new jail time.
47, sure.
Yeah. On your own recognizance.
Yeah, but I think those $120,000 robots are going to go gone in 1 second, because now I can smash it and go do my business. You know, it's a good concept. We'll see how it works. You need that human factor to make a decision. So should we take a look at one of your screens? And kind
Absolutely.
Of see All right. Welcome back to Security Guy Radio. And we're going to take a look at some remote monitoring situations. And we've blacked out the address. That's what that white square is there. So walk us through what we're looking at here.
So this is what we consider our interactive map. So as you can see, we've got a property here. This is actually a live property. And we create zones, as you see the different colors. And in these zones are what we call digital guards or remote guarding. And as you can see, they're turning different colors. And Tim, if you click on one of the cameras, you can see how the analytics pick up people in cars based on the camera outlay. So if we go back to the interactive map, we can see how we've created a geofence border around this property. And as you see down here, these are still shots from live shots from this actual property. And it's picking up people and things. Obviously, this is a car dealership that has some high activity. So if we click on a couple more of those cameras, you could see how the
so that's the analytics going on.
These are the squares. Analytics, okay. Correct.
It's so it said person, so it knows. I see.
Yeah, that's how smart these cameras right. are. So
that poor guy on the left, though, he's unclassified. I feel sorry for him.
He is. He's there? Got a long way to go. So what this does is once the analytic kicks off, it'll send an alert to our command center that we're in, and then we'll pull up that event and decide what course of action. Is it the CEO who's working late? Is it a crime in progress and we have to have a voice down capability? If that doesn't work, we also engage with law enforcement or any local boots on the ground security that might be at the front of the building or the rear of the building.
And look, it's tracing its path.
Correct.
Right, so you go back and find that. So I could run an analytic and say, show me this camera angle and how many people walk through there at a certain time or something.
Correct. And what this does
or a car. I could say I want to see just cars, right?
It could be just cars. And what this allows us to do is it stores the data if we need to bring it up for any reasons after the fact. But it starts creating the trends, as I mentioned before. And if this person down here is always here at 4 o'clock, it's going to start reminding us that that person's supposed to be there. Now, if this is 4 o'clock in the morning, that person should obviously not be there, and it'll identify that this place is closed based on the trends in the analytics.
Now I see at the bottom, there's a little thing that popped up that said clutter.
Correct.
We have the right corner that says unclassified, because it's just a piece of a car. They don't know enough, but eventually they may learn that molding goes to that car, right?
Correct. So what would happen in this case is our trained agents would be able to pull this up and do a behavioral analysis of what's going on. So it could be a number of things. It could be a legitimate action. It could be a crime in progress. And again, during potential crimes in progress, we have a voice capability to the potential suspect, real time, identify him all the way down to what he or she is wearing. Hey, you in the black hoodie, the red shoes, you're trespassing. The event's being recorded. Law enforcement are on their way. 95%+ of the people leave. It's the other 4 or 5% that continue on to do harm. We follow them around the property while we are calling law enforcement and being a trained eyewitness to an event in progress.
Now, I recognize this property because I used to do business out there. This is a very big place. And
Correct.
A busy place.
Correct.
How many cameras have we got working here? I'm counting 15, 20 cameras?
There's more than that. There's 25, I believe.
They're only kind of giving our operators behind us here. They're getting a view when something's in the camera that's moving that is of interest, or how do they switch?
So where the analytics are turning these cameras blue means there's something in that zone that's telling us to go
look at
and
it.
Investigate.
Yeah.
Now, Tim, leave this for a second. This is really important because this is an interior shot, and we call these administrative cameras. And what this allows a client, multiple things, stop frivolous lawsuits, help with efficiencies and productivity of their employees. And there's, a byproduct of some potential marketing data they could use this for. So these are also being monitored during particular hours, but it's important to know that we try and stop it at the perimeter, hence the crime prevention piece. And if it doesn't stop at the perimeter, we're able to follow the said suspect around the property. So if we go back to the interactive map, so as you can see, there's also outlining areas that are masked. So these trees and shrubberies actually don't show up. They're not a deterrent.
They're out of line of sight? Is
correct.
That, okay.
So you see these borders?
Right.
Everything on the outside of the border, we're not concerned about based on, we use natural barriers of mountains.
What's
and,
the blue area for?
The blue area is actually from a color coordination. It's a zone that the SOC technician knows when a particular camera is going off in a particular color.
Okay.
I've asked that question many times and said that's, you know, the color scheme is what our experts look at. It's not, it has no bearing on the cameras.
But and this has about a 2 second, 3 second delay.
So this is actually real time. There's no
Well, the stream has some kind of micro delay, I guess, right?
Yeah. So the dwell time is less than 2 seconds.
Dwell time. When we learn that word.
Remember that. But when we pull it up into the queue, and I'm not going to show it to you, but we record every event here live,
right,
on the desktop and audio for best practices and training purposes. But we could show clients that dwell time. It's really stopping the gap, so we're able to call law enforcement because. The byproduct or the piece to law enforcement is the critical time, right? You lose that in alarm sense. You get that in real-time monitoring.
And how many locations you said you had, 100,000?
So we have over 100,000 digital guards out there.
Oh, okay, right? Digital guards, right.
Digital guards out there, which make up a couple hundred sites.
That's amazing.
Nationwide. And, again, it can range from 1,000 square feet all the way up to hundreds of acres of open space.
Jordan, this is fascinating.
Thank you.
I think everybody should have this. I was a little skeptical, thinking it wasn't, you know, well, I don't know. It's a technology that I'm very impressed. This is really, really cool. How do we get a hold of you if we want to contact the business?
So our website's eliteisi.com. Our phone number is on the bottom of that. You can go in and ask for a free quote or even download some white paper best practices regarding the specific vertical that you're in.